Welcome to the Bards FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, and tonight you're listening to Against Principalities. This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war. Good evening, patriots. And tonight is Monday, March 18th in the year 2024. We have an insane world, crazy one, and it's getting crazier because there's so many framings of what things could happen and what people want to believe that the truth, even though it's before us, often slips away. Let's start with a short piece right here that I think puts pretty much everything in perspective.
And then it's January, and then it's Christmas in July, and then today's not really today because the numbers are missing, and then it's because it's the Julian calendar, and then it's the Gregorian calendar, and then it's the Q calendar, and then it's the Mickey Mouse clock, and then it's the mirror inside the Mickey Mouse clock, and then it's the mirror beyond the other Mickey Mouse clock that's in the other mirror that's in the other dimension beyond the ice wall, and then Pompeo's got the timestamps, and Scavino's got the comms, and the comms are in the burgers, and now they're in the ice cream, and the timestamps are in the comms, and Grassley's got the comms are in the corn, and now the corn is up his ass, and Durham's got the briefcase, and Trump has the football, and Barron Trump's really 85 years old, and Putin's got the codes, and he sends the codes to Elon, who has the magic Starlink, and then the cabal is going to try to resurrect hell from the portal of CERN, then the Nephilim are to come down, fight alongside the Blackhawks with large hadron colliders, then the Earth's going to flip over on its head, and we'll be walking upside down. And then Trump's going to step in, and Elon's going to reset the codes, and Trump steps in, and then it's all finished in one day. Maybe. I don't know, man.
What can I say? I think he summed up it. I think he summed everything up better than most. He did it great. This is the world we're in. It's insane. And it is an insane world. We're going to get into it a little bit tonight and literally kind of what's behind the bigger picture. So before we get going tonight, mypillow.com/bards, promo code bards. That's the first thing right off the top. All sorts of fantastic deals. And I even have an endorsement of a product. And I am told by the resistance chicks that the flannel sheets are like off the rails. You got to get flannel sheets. And I'm like, but we're heading into summer. They're like, you can't believe how comfortable they are. I'm like, okay, so check those out. They've got the Mattress Topper 2.0, which is another fantastic product. You just uses this heat wicking thread on it, which is really awesome. Anyway, fantastic products and an incredible company. If we had literally 300 companies like MyPillow, we would be in a different position in this nation. Mike Lindell is incredible. What he's done with his company to use his gift that God gave him, literally, and how he continues to support the fight to return us to a correct answer for 2020. And he's not getting any support, by the way. And unfortunately, too, I mean, just everybody's trying to just kind of push him aside. Mike, we wouldn't be where we are without Mike Lindell. And I mean that on so many levels. So head on over to mypillow.com/bards. Take advantage of all the great savings, which there are many. Fantastic deals, great products. You're never going to be disappointed. And your promo code's BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, which is obviously the coolest promo code around. I love MyPillow products. I don't just say that. I don't use things and like, oh, I'll try it, and then I'll just say I keep trying it. I use it every day. MyPillows. And they're everywhere. And I love them, and I love the sheets. I love the mattresses, I love the comforter, everything about it. I've never had a bad product from MyPillow, so check it out. Even the towels are awesome. So it's a great way to get stuff for your home. And, you know, well, maybe we need to start a MyPillow slipper revolution again or something like that. But whatever we do, it's a great product to have, great purchases, and great value. So again, mypillow.com/bards, promo code BARDS. You're going to love what you find. You're going to love what you get. You're going to love the whole deal. And patriots, let's not forget that in Ohio and in Texas, there's two events going on. We want you to register before the event if you can. It's the eclipse. It's going to be, for some, the end of the world. For others, it's going to be a new beginning. For some, there's going to be tidal waves that hit the coast. For others, it's going to be doomsday. I don't know. There's so many things going on right now. Just come and watch the sun go get just go dark, and then from darkness experience light. It's going to be incredible, whatever it is. We want you there. Bards Fest is where you want to do. You want to go to bardsfest.com. You want to register for your tickets, which is awesome. And the Ohio event is in Brookville, Ohio. The Texas event is in Kamado, Texas, which is on the border. Two fantastic locations. It'll be completely in the darkness. Two different sermons. Pastor Rod Parker is going to be running the Texas event. And our team up here with the coolness of, well, me and Pastor Debonese Ball, Apostle Greg Davis. Of course, Michelle and Leah, the Resistance Chicks. You couldn't miss that one. That's going to be there. And we're going to have Pete Santilli and Pastor Neil Peterson. It's going to be good. And two of the great little upcoming prophetic girls, the Revolutionary Revivalists. We're a bit revivalists. Yes, that's good. So it's all Michelle and Little Leah. So you want to be there. Or I said, Michelle, it's not Abigail and Little Leah. So head on over there. Head on over to the site, register. There is a donation requested. It's not mandatory, but it helps on all the costs, which is really good. So, all right, we're putting it over to God. We want you there. Be called. We're going to start Sunday night, 7 p.m. It's not on the flyer. We got to get our flyer updated. I see that. Sunday night, both locations, 5 p.m. We're going to do just a whole bunch of prayer and great stuff. The next day, starting at 10 a.m. all day, when you leave there, you'll have more Jesus and you know what to do with, and you'll be on fire, which is great. So check it out. You'll be happy, and you'll be happy you did. All right, so obviously our world is literally upside down, and it's not getting any better. I want you to hear this piece by a Supreme Court justice. Oh, this woman. This is Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. She is literally arguing against the First Amendment. Take a listen.
Justice Jackson?
So my biggest concern is that your view has the First Amendment hamstringing the government in significant ways in the most important time periods. What would you have the government do? I've heard you say a couple times that the government can post its own speech, but in my hypothetical, kids, this is not safe, don't do it, is not going to get it done. And so I guess some might say that the government actually has a duty to take steps to protect the citizens of this country, and you seem to be suggesting that that duty cannot manifest itself in the government encouraging or even pressuring platforms to take down harmful information. So can you help me? Because I'm really worried about that, because you've got the First Amendment operating in an environment of threatening circumstances from the government's perspective, and you're saying that the government can't interact with the source of those problems.
And Your Honor, I understand that instinct, and I guess what I tell you is the.
So this is just an amazing exchange that is happening here, where you literally have a Supreme Court justice arguing against the First Amendment. And we have to start building a very realistic picture to understand who the real threat is. The threat is that we are in an occupied nation. And we are living as the people being occupied by an insurgency that literally has seized control of all things and seized control of the minds of the people. And that's the most disturbing part. Not only do they have people that are intentionally trying to distort reality, but we have people that are buying into that distortion. I'm going to play here. It's about a one-minute clip of one of the most nonsensical, insane rants I've ever heard. I want you to hear this because this is coming right out of the transgender movement. I will be honest. I even had our mod Teddy listen to it today. Neither one of us can understand what this person's saying, but I want you to hear how insane these people are. And this is what the product is of this government and why we are literally careening into the bowels of hell, because we literally have allowed this stuff to grow like a cancer, and it's happening at our government schools, which we should just call government indoctrination camps for kids. Take a listen to this.
I'm so tired of white cis women being more dedicated to being called a healer than actually doing the work to be a healer. The only thing that you're worried about healing is your bruised ego and being confronted with your complacency in genocide and your obsession with upholding privilege. We do not need more nice white women. Are you kidding me? And stop asking marginalized people to do the work for you because you don't feel comfortable with it. I am so tired of having conversations with white cis women where they're more upset about the fact that they're being called in or called out than the fact that they're harming marginalized people. The fact that there is literal genocide that they are paying for with the fucking advertisements that they're putting all over Instagram. And these are the same women that are the first to minimize the impact of social media. And also the first to use social media as their business opportunity, to use their voice to create their community. So why is it that when in your mode of healing and community and business, why the fuck is liberation not being centered? Y'all are stealing resources and precious energy and precious time from marginalized people because you are not willing to do it yourself. It's pathetic and it's privileged as fuck. You have so much power. Stop pretending that you can play small and get away with it. Step it the fuck up. Your comfort is not a priority here.
Sorry for the language. I don't know what they said. I've listened to this now a couple of times. I don't even know what was just said here. But this is the damage we're dealing with in a public where there's a very real and very serious crisis to our sovereignty as a nation. And these are the sorts of people that actually have a right to vote. That should concern everybody. And no exaggeration there. And this is, it's getting bad, and it's not going to get any better until we start to get a handle on where the root cause is. Now, like it or not, our entire media system, our education system, our legal system, our political system, and most of our boardrooms right now are absolutely captured in such a way that we literally are being railroaded into this eternal bowel of torture and destruction because we are in a place where the public, over the years, we've just kind of turned our back on what this nonsense is, and we are now facing a crisis. Now, there's a piece here. I'm not going to play the clip because it's very hard to understand him. But this is Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano, who was on our show about 3 years ago, actually. It was a great honor. And I haven't been able to get him back on. But he goes in and literally lays out a lot of the things that are happening behind the scenes. But what he points to in this clip and what's important in his discussion is that everything is pointing towards, one, Israeli Mossad, and the fact that all of the current trends of things and the reason we do not have any political activity going on in our country to stop this insanity is because all of these people are owned. And they're owned by the blackmail that has been able to be built because of sexual impropriety and the blackmail of sex with children. That puts us back at Epstein. And it puts us to his cohort, Giselle, whatever her name is. And she's in jail. Epstein is supposedly alive somewhere from what we understand. And so if you're looking at one of the greatest blackmail operations ever that has been able to seize control of our government, and those people work for Mossad, you have to run that rabbit trail back to where it goes, which is the government of Israel. And where do they get the money for this? It's coming from our taxpayer dollars, which are being dumped into Israel by the billions to fund that psychopathic government. And at the same time, they're just able to just wash that money and bring it right back around and dump it back into the U.S., and they do because they're not even required as anything, any Jewish organization is not required to register where their money comes from. So we're watching this washing going on. And at the same time, we're seeing a complete destruction, annihilation of everything within this space of Israel for the purpose of trying to acquire land in Gaza. Now, how does that relate to the insane transgender down here and the other things that are going on all over the world? Like today, the idea that they just put up an exhibit in Victoria, the Victoria and Albert Museum in London, that places Margaret Thatcher with Hitler and bin Laden. Why is this happening? Because what you're witnessing right now is a rewrite of history. This is the Great Reset. And the Great Reset is being managed by a very elite group of people. It is a mafia. It is a Jewish Zionist mafia. Let's be clear about that. I am separating that specifically from Hebrew Israelite. I want to be clear about this. But there is an elite mafia that's a bloodthirsty mafia that is running things, and they have seized a massive control of our country and of the world and the information space to control the outcome of things. And it's deadly and it's dark. I want you to hear this testimony. And this happens to be a testimony that was on TikTok that within hours of Congress banning this fake TikTok ban. I mean, it's the TikTok ban that's not a TikTok. It wasn't supposed to be a TikTok ban. It is a TikTok ban. And just so we're clear about that, that TikTok ban was instant engineered so it would be a ban, but said it's not to be. And how did they do that? China can't sell TikTok. It's not allowed. It deals with technology transfers. It's not going to be able to be sold. They knew this going into this, so they called it not a ban because they said all China has to do is let this company be sold. I want you to think about that from a reverse perspective. This is who we're dealing with. They come into you. They say, we want you to sell your house. You say, I don't want to sell your house. They turn around and they say, if you don't sell your house, you're a terrorist. That's essentially what they've done to TikTok. You build a company up, they come in and they say, we want to buy your company. You say, I don't want to sell your company. Well, a couple of things are going to happen. If they want you, they're going to tax you to death, they're going to call you a terrorist, or they'll just kill you. Because that's how they play. And when we start to see how cultish this is, we start to have to get in the underbelly of what we're really dealing with. Now, take a listen to this piece here. This comes from somebody who is an Ashkenazi Jew.
Who differ on the Israel issue. What is her stance?
She is Zionist till the core. Whether or not it's ideological or AIPAC-induced, I don't know. We're both Ashkenazi Jews raised in the United States, and we were raised to be very anti-Arab, to think that Arabs are lesser, less civilized, dirty, and want to kill us. That is brainwashed into us from a very young age. It's taken me the better part of 10 years to deprogram myself. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. I was used as a tool in ethnic cleansing when I was in Israel. I was there as a teenager. They take groups over there all the time on mass propaganda tours. Where they were taking us was to places that we weren't supposed to be. But you really have to wonder who uses human shields when you're sending teenagers somewhere where you think they need an assault rifle to protect them. And
this is the type of group we're dealing with. And we know that there's no value for kids here. All right, so let me read this to you. And it's important because this comes from Genghis Khan on Twitter, which is Genghis_Khan911. And it's titled The Perfect Mafia. So here we are, horse warriors, the end of the movie. We've all learned truths along the way about our reality and the way we view it. The truths become progressively more difficult to accept, more unbelievably horrible. But after carefully examining the evidence, we all invariably drew the same conclusion at the end of our collective, quote, great awakening. Our world is run by mobsters who consider us nothing more than cattle to profit and literally feast off of. We were told along the journey that we were saving Israel for last. I can't argue that indeed. At the climax of this movie, we are seeing more focus on Israel and Jews than any other time in history. But as I've stated previously, I believe this is by design. Remember, the Jews believe that in the end, they not only openly rule the world, but they enslave the rest of humanity willingly also. The Talmud tells them, we non-Jews, or Goyim, throw ourselves at the hem of their robes and beg them to be taken as slaves. Apparently they didn't meet me. So basically, two things come to pass in Jew end times. Firstly, the Jews drop the act of pretending they don't rule us. They own it, like you are seeing right now. Absolute impunity. Secondly, the Jewish Messiah will announce himself as such, then build the third temple. That's also part of what you are watching occur now around Israel, preparation to build the third temple. When this occurs, the combined Muslim nations of the world will be triggered to war because they know the coming of the Jewish Messiah signals their doom if true. The prophecy states that all the people of the world will serve and be ruled by the Jewish king who is the Jewish Messiah and his descendants. But more importantly, all religions other than Judaism will be eliminated by force through war. Do you understand? That includes Christianity. According to Judaism, Christians are idol worshippers no better than Muslims or animals. In other religions, all other religions will be broken and eliminated. All people will comply with Judaism or die. You've been watching the set for this for decades. This year is the conclusion. It's Jew time. The whole act they play for pretending that they are just one of many minorities with little or no say in the world affairs was deliberately crafted as an illusion that hypnotized the world. Meanwhile, in the background, Israel infiltrated every major institution on the planet and now controls or owns them all, even the money. There are no black hats and white hats. There's just us and the Jews that rule over us, the ultimate mafia. You see, if you know your organized crime documentaries, then you know the power running a gang filled with members of your own blood family gives you loyalty. The code of honor and the silence that binds mafia members together was unbreakable until recent times. Whether they are on the street collecting or locked in prison, taking one for the family, they were always protected and looked after. As long as they stayed silent and loyal to the family. Now imagine the world Jews live in. They look at the way the Talmud and the Torah glue these people together. Those books outline the rules for them to rule and control us non-Jews, as well as completely different set of rules for Jews dealing with other Jews. You've all seen the memes by now. You know there's two classes of humans if you're Jewish according to their beliefs. There's the Jews, God's chosen, then there's the Goyim, but put on earth by God purely to serve their Jewish masters. It sounds like a bad movie script. We're ruled by gangsters, Jewish mafia. They're all in on it. Everything you are watching that gives you the impression Jews are about to be hauled away to justice, Epstein's Jews, where's that evidence? Why would the richest and most powerful people on earth all line up to cry at the wall? Do you think you know more about them? About who is really in charge? Q generals versus Jewish elite rabbi godfathers? Really? Sauce it, GK. Patriots, this is real, and this is a real issue to come to grips with because there's so much manipulation of media and so much manipulation of perspective. If we dig into this hard and we start to realize where we are, we have to get real. Everyone's waiting for this great moment to happen. The only great moment and great hand that's going to come about in this is God's hand. That's it. And that's literally the principalities war that we need to be fighting every single day. But the problem is they've just swept people around into this mentality right now that somehow there's going to be the great savior, which is going to be Trump and his mighty brigade of unknown army people coming in. And I don't know where that's coming from, because even if you're looking closely at what's happening, our military is broken. And the question they keep asking, which is this is the thing that just keeps happening, is this regurgitation of the Q theory, which is like, oh yeah, but this is all a deception. It's not a deception when you're talking to people that have been literally destroyed by this vax. This vax was a bioweapon that was launched inside our military in full force, designed to paralyze and cripple what we were. And everything right now, the indicators out here right now, is something big is coming. They are priming up. I got word today from a friend. It's a friend of a friend. So it's a friend of mine, close friend of mine, who sent word today that he has a friend whose daughter just got back from school today. Public school. I want to stress this. This wasn't private school. This was government-run public school. And what did they have her doing? Preparing a bug-out bag with the words, prepare yourself to be a refugee. There's something big on the horizon that they are starting to prepare people for mentally and trying to sow this fear so that we will be very responsive to it. And the only way through this is to start leaning into this and start saying no fear. But the problem is fear is the deep, deep part of us. I keep going back to it. 365 times in the Bible, God tells us no fear. Fear not, fear not, fear not. There's probably a pretty good reason for that. Because once you get fear, you get locked in. Now, last night we did the story of St. Patrick. And I'm really encouraging people to go back and look at that story and listen to it. And this is why. Because at the core of this is a single man, a power of one, in a country that literally overcame and kicked out the Romans. That was literally under the entire control of the Druids. And the Druid king and their people that were dealing with the black arts, manifesting demons, doing all sorts of powerful black magic, managed to drive the Romans out. One man, Patrick, who later became the people saint, St. Patrick, returned to that island and single-handedly kicked out all the darkness there and brought the king of the Druids to bow before him in terms of Jesus, accept Christ in his heart. That's the power of one. That's the power of the authority of God. That's the power of walking in and having the confidence and faith so strong and so pure that you fear nothing in front of this evil. This is the only way through these people, because these people think that they've got everybody. They think that they control the systems, and they think that nobody can escape this because they think everybody will bow to them. Them believing that somehow I'm going to be groveling at the hem of their robes, they've got some other thing coming. I will never bow to anybody other than Christ. End of story, end of story, end of story. But this idea is, it keeps getting inculcated into this culture to where they're trying to break down every aspect and ask yourself, why is America such a big target? Because we're armed, because we have that faith at the core of this country when it gets reignited, and because our country was built on a principle of being subordinate to the throne of God and then government subordinate to the will of the people. And right there is the power which they fear the most, because we will refuse under any circumstances to bow to them if we ignite truly that depth and power and passion of the patriot. But it's going to take everybody. It's not just a select few. It's not just a 231. It takes everybody to have that courage and step up, in particular the multiple remnant tribes to come in and have that strength to stand together. This is about an 8-minute piece. I want to play this. This is a tragic story. This is 21 years ago. Rachel Corrie was killed by Israel in Gaza on the 30th of January 2003. An Israeli bulldozer drove over her as it was wiping out the two largest water wells, destroying half of Rafah's water supply. She was protesting this. So she stood in its way, and Israel decided it was a good idea to go and drive over the top of an American girl that was protesting. In the time that I've been here, children have been shot and killed, and every day a house is demolished. And they've been demolishing houses quietly the whole time. And it's the core here, before we get into the story, is to understand why. What's at the core of what they're fighting for? Take a listen to this piece first.
British Gas has discovered natural gas off the coast of Gaza. The natural gas is spread over 1.4 trillion cubic feet.
Many months later,
geologists have confirmed that the West Bank is rich in high-quality oil and water supplies, while Gaza is rich in natural gas. The estimated cost of the occupation related to oil and natural gas is valued at $500 billion. Till now, Israel has successfully occupied and controlled water and oil resources. Currently, there are plans to develop Gaza's maritime gas field, as announced by Netanyahu in June 2023. Soon after declaring war against Hamas in October, Israel granted licenses to 6 companies for the development of the Gaza's gas field. Clearly, their aim is to become a net exporter of natural gas. However, the Palestinian people are seen as problematic to the proposed agenda. So Israel wants to take control over Gaza Strip in the name of self-defense against terrorism and utilize Gaza's marine gas field, similar to what was done during the 2014 war. Some countries are supporting this genocide because they are major shareholders of the 6 involved companies, either directly or indirectly through relatives. The USA and the UK support Israel also because of companies like Boeing and British Aerospace, which provide arms to the Israeli forces used in Gaza. Countries not linked to these companies are supporting Israel due to the benefits that will be derived from the Ben Gurion Canal Project.
The Ben Gurion Canal Project and the natural gas, two huge issues of why Israel needs that whole area and wants the Palestinians removed. The Ben Gurion Canal Project is a new canal they're putting through there in the southern part, which, oh, isn't that surprising? That's exactly where they've driven every single Palestinian from the north as they've bombed them to death, driving them down. Over 13,000 children killed, over 35,000 civilians killed. And the greatest irony of this whole thing, and I'm just saying it, if you get into the motivations and what they are saying, and I'll read it to you here, of why Hamas was involved, it has to do with what they call the Al-Aqsa flood. Take a listen, let me read this to you. Israel has constructed a massive sacrificial altar in Jerusalem to sacrifice a red heifer, build the third temple, and raise the Antichrist. If you want to understand the motives behind the October 7th attack, And I'll add my piece. Besides the fact that Israel IDF forces were given a stand down order to allow Hamas to attack, and that Mossad is also funding Hamas, just thought I'd throw that one little trigger in there. It's essential to understand what's happening in Jerusalem. It's also essential to understand that Hamas's unspoken rule is both ends to the middle, playing both ends to the middle. They are doing well here. Muslims do not want the Third Temple to be created. They're willing to use violence to stop it, hence the October 7th attack, which was titled the Al-Aqsa Flood. Now, we literally have Christians in Israel, which in parts of Israel can't speak the word Jesus, but that's okay, I guess, because they're able to advocate for the absolute destruction, literally destruction of the mosque. Now, look, I'm not getting involved in what's right or wrong here. I'm just telling you, you tear down a sacred mosque of somebody like you tear down a church, like you tear down a synagogue, I can guarantee you there's going to be some real anger going on, and it's going to go to war, and that's the whole idea here. Israel's Temple Mount is currently occupied by one of the holiest sites in Islam, the Al-Aqsa compound. Within the compound, the Islamic dome on the rock sits on the remains of the Jewish Second Temple. In order for the Jews to fulfill their religious goals, he should be saying the Zionists, a third Jewish temple must be constructed. Muslims know this because rabbinic Jews are extremely vocal about it. Construction of the Jewish temple would require demolition of the holy site in Islam. And the Islamic world does not want this for two reasons. They obviously don't want their holy site destroyed. And two, construction of the third temple precedes the rise of Jewish Moshiach, whom Muslims view as the Al-Dajjal. In other words, the Islamic title for the Antichrist. That's just crazy. We actually have two different religions screaming about the same thing. We can't see each other eye to eye. We're divided. In the middle sits who? The Zionist Jews. Isn't that crazy? Almost like it's intentional. The mafia works. The Zionist media will never tell you this, why the October 7th attack happened, but it is. Hamas has been clear about this. The Islamic world will not stop at nothing to prevent the construction. I'm sorry, the Islamic world will stop at nothing to prevent the construction of the temple. If Israel makes a move to do it, it will completely destabilize the Middle East and risks thrusting the world into World War III. In my opinion, the destruction of that temple will likely happen in our lifetimes, and a savior, quote unquote, will rise to save the day and bring order back to the world through into chaos. That figure, again, in my opinion, will be the man whom the Jews believe to be the Moshiach, the man whom Muslims and Christians, myself included, believe to be the Antichrist. Almost like we're talking the same language, but we can't hear each other. This is an intense period of where we get into the ideological roots of our faith. And it's very difficult for people to digest because they're not looking at this through a clear lens. You can't stand in a pulpit and scream about defeating Hamas or talking about annihilating a civilization, which is what they want to do. They want to literally genocide the entire Palestinian group, unless you are going to be honest, follow the money, and look at the root of what's going on. When you have 13,000 children stacked up, just like we had over 1 million children at the end of the day stacked up against Iraq, you've got blood on your hands in the worst way. And as a nation, we've got that blood on our hands, and they're trying to rope us into yet another one. And the justifications are ridiculous. Now, I want you to hear this piece because this is an American girl. This is Rachel Corey, who in 21 years ago went there to defend the right for people to have a house and to stop the murder of children. It starts out with her when she's young and she's speaking before Congress, and it leads to her time when she was in the Gaza area. Take a listen.
Let me tell you a story about a 10-year-old girl that wanted to make the world a better place.
I'm here because I care. I'm here because children everywhere are suffering, and because 40,000 people die each day from hunger.
Rachel Corey died as a U.S. citizen defending Palestinian homes in Gaza. They were being demolished, and Rachel Corey refused to let it happen. This took place on March 16th, 2003, 21 years ago. This didn't begin on October 7th.
On the 30th of January, the Israeli military bulldozed the two largest water wells, destroying over half of Rafah's water supply. In the time that I've been here, children have been shot and killed every few days, if not every day. Houses are demolished. What I'm witnessing here is a very systematic destruction of people's ability to survive, and that is incredibly horrifying.
Rachel Corey represented the conscience of humanity.
Sometimes I'm sitting down to dinner with people and I just realize that there is a massive military machine surrounding them and trying to kill these people that I'm having dinner with and who are being very generous and kind to me and their children here who are incredibly threatened.
Through her, that basic aversion to watching human suffering was channeled, and she gave her life for the Palestinian cause. Her body was crushed so extensively that her organs stopped functioning. Israelis mocked her death, producing pictures of Rachel Corrie as a pancake. Her grieving parents organized a campaign to fight for justice. Caterpillar, the company which made the bulldozer which crushed her body, hired the private intelligence company C2I to infiltrate the campaign for justice and to spy on Rachel's parents. C2I International was founded by former helicopter pilot in British Special Forces, Justin King. His company illegally garnered information about the Corrie's legal strategy and infiltrated meetings with the Corrie parents. At the same time, the organization Rachel Corrie had been part of, the International Solidarity Movement, was being infiltrated by the British state. The Special Demonstration Squad, known as Spy Cops, dispatched somebody who went by the name of Rob Harrison. His early mobilizations had been as part of the ISM's response to the killing of Rachel Corrie. He's remembered for insinuating himself into many different pro-Palestinian activities. He even deceived politically active women in the campaign into sexual relationships. And it has been revealed that these officers were either permitted or encouraged to form sexual relationships with the women they were spying on. Several of those spy cops cases led to the birth of children. And in those cases, both the woman giving birth and the child did not know the true identities of the fathers who disappeared before the birth of those children. The important thing to remember about the spy cops campaign is that over 1,000 political groups in this country were infiltrated by them. But it wasn't just political groups. It was even Nottingham's Vegan Society, or an organization that rescued hedgehogs. It was Housman's Bookshop. It was the National Union of Students. It was the National Union of Teachers. The organization Rachel Corrie belonged to was just one small part of a larger picture. While most of the world was horrified at the fate that befell Rachel Corrie, it seems the British state and Caterpillar went to great lengths to protect the killers. But that call of humanity that Rachel Corrie represented did not die with her. As Latin American revolutionary Tupac Katari said, "I will die as one, but as millions, I will return." Just this year, US Air Force member Aaron Bushnell walked outside the Israeli embassy in Washington and self-immolate in protest against Israel's genocide in Gaza and the role of the United States in it. His last words that he called several times, "Free Palestine." And much in the same way that Rachel Corrie was mocked after her death, we saw an outpouring of fake posts produced who knows where. So in his death, Aaron Bushnell was smeared. But who was he? Well, we can see a representation of that in his will, in which he said, "Once Palestine is liberated, and if the people of the land would so permit, I want my ashes to be scattered across a free Palestine." It is claimed by Bushnell's friend that he had access to intelligence which showed the involvement of the US military on the ground and involvement in the genocide and killings in Gaza. We also know the US Air Force sent officers to assist with targeting. We also know Joe Biden was pictured in October with members of the US Delta Force on the ground in Palestine, and he referenced their efforts to fight in Gaza. The United States has sent tens of thousands of tons of military hardware and has had 100 secret arms deals with Israel throughout this period. What Aaron Bushnell and Rachel Corrie were responding to was a political system which is invested in the genocide of Palestinians. And they stated their objection to that relationship with their bodies. These are wounds of humanity.
They are wounds of humanity. And whether I don't care where you fall on the political spectrum of Israel or Palestine, if you have a situation in a world where governments can justify the genocide of people, they will do it to you. That's the bottom line. And this is what we're part of in when we associate with these governments the way we have. When we embed ourselves in taking sides, especially at the pulpit, we're getting involved in a politics of darkness and hatred that is literally not of Jesus, period, not of Jesus. These people will turn like vipers in a second. All they have to do is justify one to eventually justify it in the minds of the many. And unfortunately, this mafia, which has hidden itself under a religious ideology and made itself untouchable by even speaking their name, which is the Jewish Zionist group, which ultimately have their roots back to that root where we're seeing that other war, which is Ukraine, which takes us back to Khazarian mafia, which takes us back to what they call the Red Jews, and take it further, and where do you go? You end up into a Viking bloodline of bloodthirsty people and killers, not of Jesus and not of the people that we would expect to associate with or want to rule this world. They see the world as theirs to enslave. And this is where we sit, in a global organization, a cult of secret societies that ties itself to Rome, it ties itself to London, it ties itself to Washington, D.C., and we are the military arm of that triad. And its main agencies of control now hub itself, where they want to hub itself, out of Jerusalem and in the country of Israel that was originally in this century, in this modern way of interpretation, was purchased by the Rothschilds. Land that was taken by the Balfour Agreement and established in 1947 to take the land by force and to establish a country of Israel. Hotly contested. It was done intentionally to divide and to leave and foment hatred for generations. All of this designed to turn humanity against itself ultimately so that we would hate each other rather than seeing those who are in power. That's the game. And it's time that we wake up. We are sitting right now at a cusp of something massive in this nation. Things are happening in a huge way that are not good. We are sitting here on a place down in the border right now. Here's another post here on X today from Wall Street Apes. It says, "Wake up, America. You are living in occupied territory. The Supreme Court just cited against the United States Constitution. The Constitution is clear. Section 4, Article 4 says the federal government shall protect each of, in brackets, the states against invasion. Quote, we, the federal government, fails to fulfill this constitutional duty, Article 1, Section 10, when the federal government fails to fulfill this constitutional duty, Article 1, Section 10, expressly guarantees states the sovereign power to repel an invasion and defend their citizenry from overwhelming and imminent danger. The resolution affirms that the states don't have to be passive victims of this administration's border security failures. Rather, they should exercise their sovereign constitutional right to defend themselves and their citizens. The U.S. Constitution foresaw that states would not be left to the mercy of the lawless president who does nothing to stop external threats, like cartels smuggling millions of illegal immigrants across the border. That is why the framers included both Article 4, paragraph, or Section 4, which promises the federal government shall protect states against invasion, and Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3, which acknowledges the state's sovereign interest in protecting their borders. And that goes to Arizona versus the United States, 567 U.S. 387, 419. In 2012, Scalia was dissenting. Right now, SCOTUS has, it says here, the SCOTUS has extended the stay that blocks Texas police from arresting illegal immigrants after Biden administration sued Texas to stop them from arresting people who illegally crossed the border. And we have to get into the why of all of this. Take a listen to this.
Well, you guys have all been seeing it, the fuckery with Haiti. This isn't going to be a pretty post, so if you're looking for something comforting, scroll on. And against my better judgment, I'm just going to say the whole full truth right out on Front Street. Joe Biden, you know what's going on. News agencies, you know what's going on. And the governors involved, you certainly know what's going on. But you guys have been complicit in lying to the American people. All of them know that we need migration to keep the United States of America alive. In Texas, Florida, California, people are dying faster than they can be born. So they're pumping them into these states, and they're also moving them to cities where they can work jobs. As far as Haiti is concerned, in August of 2023, DHS had made a new plan, a reunification program, to where people that were already here that had come across, because let's face it, we've had immigration since the 70s with the Haitians. We have little Haiti down there in Florida. So the people that are already there can actually file paperwork now, send it, and bring over whoever they want as long as they have a qualified person that's a family member. That was just silently passed through. Now all of a sudden they have to set the stage to bring them over, right? Yep, so they have to go and tell you that there's a cannibal gang that's come across that's forcing these people to become refugees. Why is that? Because under refugee status, they can be brought in faster. They'll get their A number, which is an alien number, and then they will be able to also go into the work program that's been set up for them. This way, they can become the new tax slaves just like you and I. But of course, the media is going to push it to where you should hate them. And Governor DeSantis stands out there and says, well, they're already here with boats and they've got guns and drugs. It's very reminiscent of what Abbott did, right? He said he was going to stop the shit coming across at the border. And what did he do? He bailed to India. People showed up down there thinking that something was going to change, and it was a ghost town. What did they do instead? Well, they just brought them in at different entry points. On one side, Joe Biden is pushing it that these people are possibly dreamers or that they're running from something. They're not running from anything. Henry was over here in Los Angeles a couple years ago talking at summits, so they know him. He gets out of the way so that some gang leader can step up. But if you actually look into what's going on there, that guy wanted a revolution. We always have to go in and destabilize other nations. And then as soon as we get done destabilizing them, what do? Well, I guess we pull a Hillary Clinton. And for those of you that know, you know what I mean. On the other side, Donald Trump is screaming that these are illegal aliens and that we need to do something about it and that this is only happening under Joe Biden and the news agencies. All they work on is division. They don't want to tell the truth either. And if they do come out with just a little bit of truth, they'll always skew it to blame the other party. The media is nothing more than the propaganda arm of a very corrupt government, and it goes way back before Joe Biden. This has been going on for many decades, guys, and it's not going to change anytime soon. We'll blame other nations and we'll say that we're coming in to save the day. And then we'll turn around and blame the migrants and say that they're illegal or they're bad or they're bringing in diseases, that they're bringing in guns, that they're bringing in drugs. When in reality, this nation is Mystery Babylon, and you can get anything you want here in Sin City. I've told you guys from the very beginning, it's either unite or exodus. And when I say unite, I don't just mean the people on the right. I mean the people of the left and the right. There will never be a time with the Smith-Mundt Act or any of the other laws that use propaganda against the people that we will ever be a free nation, free to think for ourselves, free to get the truth, free to speak openly about what's going on here. Guys, don't let the news keep bamboozling you. They don't have to tell you the truth. And sadly, neither do our presidents and neither do our governors.
100%. Probably one of the most truthful posts recently came out from Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville. Says Americans are losing their children to a satanic cult. He says, I've traveled all over the country, all 50 states. I've been in good places and bad places. The one thing I saw, we are losing our kids to a satanic cult. We've lost our moral values across the country. We've got to get back to the Constitution. We have to get back to the Bible. We've got to get God back in our country, he continued. There's not one Democrat that can tell you they stand up for God. Senator Tuberville expanded on his claims in a later interview. They've basically taken God out of everything we were doing. I don't know any way to express it other than it's some kind of cult that they're trying to push on our kids and all Americans. We have to get back to our moral values. If you want to get back to that and let the if we can't get back to that and let the Democrats continue to push this cult on us and take God away from our country, we're going to have a very huge problem. Yes, we will. The irony of all of this is we're now becoming, as an occupied country, a country that is literally rooted in the satanic cult. And that's why I'm going to go back to St. Patrick. He walked into a country that was run by the darkest of dark, the Druids. He was there at a time when they were literally conjuring up the darkest of demons to literally fight against the Romans, and they succeeded in driving the Romans out. A single man changed that country through his absolute and unwavering faith in Christ. I want to go here now to read his prayer as we begin to close down tonight, a prayer that I would encourage everybody to memorize. This is a prayer where it's called St. Patrick's Breastplate Prayer. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation. I arise today through the strength of Christ's birth with his baptism, through the strength of his crucifixion with his burial, through the strength of his resurrection with his ascension, through the strength of his descent for the judgment of doom. I arise today through the strength of the love of the cherubim and the obedience of angels, to in the service of archangels, in the hope of resurrection to meet with reward, in the prayers of patriarchs, in the predictions of prophets, in the preaching of apostles, in the faith of confessors, in the innocence of holy virgins, in the deeds of righteous men. I arise today through the strength of heaven, the light of the sun, the radiance of the moon, the splendor of fire, the speed of lightning, the swiftness of wind, the depth of the sea, the stability of the earth, the firmness of rock. I arise today through God's strength to pilot me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's eye to look before me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to speak for me, God's hand to guard me, God's shield to protect me, God's host to save me. From snares of devils, from temptations of vices, from everyone who shall wish me ill, afar and near I summon today all the powers between me and those evils, against every cruel and merciless power that may oppose my body and soul, against incantations of false prophets, against black laws of pagandom, against false laws of heretics, against craft of idolatry, against spells of witches and smiths and wizards, against every knowledge that corrupts man's body and soul, Christ to shield me today, against poison, against burning, against drowning, against wounding, so that there may come to me an abundance of reward. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in the eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through the belief in the threeness, through the confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation. Amen. That prayer was his prayer that literally led to his victory over everything in Ireland and set Ireland free, literally, from the snakes that were infesting in everybody's hearts. There were no more snakes when he was done because he cast them out. And yet today, they are back. They're back with this wokeness. They're back with this foolishness, like every country's under siege. We have to be honest and take a step back and look at our world. We have to realize where we sit. And while we look at the world and see the things going on beyond our shores, we have to start looking deep within and start shaking the realities of those that are still asleep. Our path is through Jesus. Our path is the strength in Christ, Christ in all things. And when we stand with that authority and we stand with that true faith, Nothing can succeed that's put before us that's evil. But we need that unity in our prayer and our strength. What they want us to believe and what they're pushing the buttons for people to do is to commit civil war between each other so that they can sit back and laugh while God's children slaughter each other. That is their goal. That is their hope. That is their dream. That is where they gain their power. They use fear as the tool in the hearts of men to stir up the agitation, to start hatred, because it reduces us to such a low level of faith and such a low level of frequency within that of the frequency of God. We have to rise up above that. We talk of love. We talk of the love for one another and your fellow man. We also have to own the fact that there is justice. But justice has to come through the hand of God as he leads us and as God delivers. And to do that, we have to be close to the throne. With that, we cannot arrive at the throne with sin, nor can we be next to the throne with the malice in our heart. But God does deliver. And St. Patrick is the testimony to just that. We can and will overcome this. And even if it's just a few, it will be those few that stand. Be one of those. Be one of those and stand in the face of this and speak truth, no matter the cost. This cabal that's running the world, who is now slowly being revealed, we are seeing them now. This is what they fear the most. They do not want to be seen. And in this, we have to remember that the ultimate power for all of this is for them to bow before Jesus, because they will. All will bow. Every knee will bow. And this will happen, even though they believe it won't. It will. And this is our strength. This is our power in the root and part of the power that we hold in the body of Christ, in the unity in which we stand before this enemy. This is more time. It is a time now more than ever to pray, to get deeper into the Word, and to literally wage war against the principalities that are beyond our reach. That is where the true war is. Ephesians 6:10-18, Paul details it out where we are and what we're fighting. We are not fighting those things which we see, but those things that are beyond our reach. And this is what is before us, and we're beginning to see it. Let God show you with his eyes what we are here against. Let God speak into us and hear what we are supposed to fight against and how. And with that, we receive and will always receive the anointings necessary to fight this war in a spiritual plane first, and from the spiritual manifest the flesh. So with that, patriots, let's pray. Father God, we just come to you tonight blessed, reminded by the power of one with the story of St. Patrick's breastplate prayer, a powerful prayer that was said and shall be said again to stand before this evil, to cast them out and to break their will. There is nothing that can stand before us when we stand mightily with Christ. And so now, Father, we just pray into a powerful blessing upon the hearts of all that hear the strength of Jesus within us, the strength to stand courageously before this evil, and not be compelled for violence, but instead be compelled with the mightiness of the Holy Spirit that can stand with us and work through us to crush this evil. Father, this is a time when we're trying to be drawn into the greatest trap of all, a trap to truly hate one another, to shed the blood of one another, while those in the powers and those in controlling the game field, the puppet masters, are laughing, literally mocking us and trying to draw us in to a battle that will leave blood rifts for eternity. That isn't our walk. Father, what we pray today is for eyes to see, your eyes to see before us this true evil, what it is, who it is, and to be able to discern clearly the games that they play. We pray for the obedience in the heart to listen to you, to step every step as you guide us, not by what we're compelled by our emotions, but what we're compelled by Holy Spirit to direct us where we need to be. Give us that clarity, Father. And for all those that are there to open their hearts, give the courage now of the Christ, the warrior Christ, the heart of a warrior Christ in such a magnificent way that nothing can stand up to us, that there will be no fear in this movement forward, that in this body of Christ that's raising up mightily within the remnant tribes, that there is fearlessness in the face of evil. And as evil feels that, Father, we know one thing for sure. It will quake. It has no place to run, no place to hide, and it will be defeated. So, Father, we pray this blessing upon all those that will receive it, all those willing to stand. No matter where they are within their relationship with Christ, we pray a powerful blessing upon them to have an encounter and a witness of Jesus in their lives, to be transformed in this moment, to be awakened in this moment in such a magnificent way, to understand that this truly is a blessed hour in which we walk, in which we live and breathe. And may we continue to walk in that humbleness, that meekness of a warrior, so great, so mighty, but able to walk with the humbleness of the heart of Christ, to understand that our enemies are nothing to stand before us, no matter how great they try to make themselves be. They are nothing, for they have nothing. And in this world is all they have, and this is the world in which they will die and remain. Father, we equally pray a massive blessing upon our enemy tonight. A blessing to be witnessed before Christ our King, to be brought to their knees in humbleness and in tears, to be forced to confess that which they seek to avoid, that they have been following a false god, that they themselves are subject to the idolatries of this world, that our King is now here amongst us and through us, and that they cannot avoid that judgment. Let them be humbled and let them be brought to their knees to bow. Let them face the judgment of this world. Let them confess their sins before the throne, and let them understand now the ills of their ways. We pray this now, this mightiness of our King, Jesus, we pray that you will be before them now to force them to realize whom they truly serve. And in the moments which they reject that, then they will suffer the ultimate pain, eternal death. For those that fall to their knees and weep, they will then suffer the consequences of this world and have still an opportunity for life and kingdom. That is our way. But they must now confess, and they must now be broken in the repentant hour of this world to be humbled before the King and to understand whom the true authority of this world is. Guide us, Father, in this quest, and we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. So, patriots, we continue to wage war and must continue to wage war into these principalities. We must continue to pray into them. We must continue to wage war in them and show the world and awaken the sons of God. This is a powerful hour. Truly, our prayers and our faith will overcome all, but we must not waver. And this is what they want us to do, is to waver. They want us not to talk, not to have faith, not to assemble. They want to break us. And that will not happen. We will not bow to them. And in defiance, no matter how difficult it gets, we must always and will always put our eyes on Christ and defy the rulers of this world. For they are nothing compared to Jesus. Nothing at all. And they will ultimately bow themselves. So patriots, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We are at war, so walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land, expand the kingdom, subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you tomorrow morning for Bended Knee. Until then or until the next time, God bless, good night, thank you, and out for now.
Oh, I wanna feel something. I just wanna breathe.